Thank you, Dave, for your kind introduction. That sounds like a lot. But then that also says that I'm a lot older than I was a few decades ago. You may be looking at the title of the sermon this morning and thinking, this should have been last week's sermon when we were at the end of the year. Here we are in a new year, and we want to look forward. We want encouragement to see ahead, to think about planning what is to come, to anticipate what God has. However, I think that remembering when is appropriate for this first Sunday of the year. For unless we remember what was, we will not be able to move forward. Remember when? We all say those words. We recall the fun that we've had as a family or with friends. We laugh again at the jokes and the silliness of the past. Oh, with pleasure, we recall the good times together. Remember when? Remember when we used to work together? Dave just did that, right? Remember when? Remember when we had coffee? Remember when we took that trip? And the list of remember whens goes on. We also say, remember when? And we recall those who have left us. And they've left us for a whole variety of reasons. Some have moved away. Some have chosen other ways. And yes, some have died. More painfully, we whisper to ourselves, remember when? And we recall the times when we have lived through pain. And we recall also the times when we have caused pain. We don't like going to those remember whens, but we must, for they too make up the fabric of our lives, and they make us who we are today. Remembering is integral to our lives. There are definitely things we want to remember, and as surely there are things we do not want to remember. And yet, our memories are what make up our lives. And when we bring God into each memory, we are encouraged and healed. Though I am not a country music fan, I listened to Alan Jackson's song called Remember When this week, and I thought that the words of the last verse were appropriate for this morning. Read along with me as it's up on the screen. Remember when 30 seemed so old? Now looking back, it's just a stepping stone to where we are, where we've been. Said we'd do it all again. Remember when? Remember when we said when we turn gray, when the children grow up and move away, we won't be sad. We'll be glad for all the life we've had, and we'll remember when. Remembering becomes the stepping stones in life to where we've been and where we hope to go. But part of remembering is also remembering things about our spiritual lives. Do you remember the time, the event, or the era when you chose to be a follower of Jesus? Do you remember your baptism? Do you remember the feeling and the understanding that came to you as you followed what God was calling you to do? Just as I have other spiritual highlights, you do too. Do you remember them? Have you got them in the back of your mind, someplace where you pull them out to remember them? What comes to mind as you recall your walk with God? Each of us have times and events that have brought us into a closer relationship with God. These are worth remembering, for they continue to encourage us. I am grateful for the good friends that I have. One in particular is a spiritual confidant. This last week, we went for coffee to spend time remembering. Remembering what this past year held. As we recalled the events that intersected our lives, we were aware again of God's work through both the struggles and the good times. Remembering is about counting our blessings and being thankful that God is with us in all situations. To remember is the ability to bring to mind an awareness of someone or something that one has seen, known, or experienced in the past. When we remember, that is, recalling the past, we think about it, and we become mindful again of the activities, the conversations, and the things that have been part of our lives. To be able to remember is a great gift. Besides working with House for All Nations, I am also a part-time chaplain at Tabor Home in Abbotsford. Many of the people that I minister to remember differently than they used to. They don't have immediate recall. Often, conversations become circular. But every once in a while, I am able to break into their circular conversations when they look at a picture or we're in a season of the year and a memory returns. There is one area where they have great recall, and that is when I sing with them. Do you know that they remember all the verses to all the hymns? And we sing loudly and clearly. And when we sing in that moment, they are present and they remember. I need help remembering because I forget. I need to leave my keys in the same place. My glasses, well, they go in various places so that, you know, I only have two or three places to look to find them. I have to put things by the door because if I don't, I forget to take them with me. And all of these help me remember. I also need help remembering in my spiritual life. One of the areas where I particularly need help in remembering is in the area of prayer. And so I use markers to help me remember. When there are certain people and things that I need to pray about, I choose something to help me remember to pray. So for example, TELUS vehicles. They always remind me to pray for my cousin and her husband who are missionaries. I chose TELUS because to communicate with my cousin is long distance. So that's a good reminder. Some days, I don't see any TELUS vehicles or trucks at all. But some days, I am amazed at how many I see. And so sometimes, I contact my cousin and I say, what is it that you need prayer for today? And invariably, there is something that needs prayer that day. And so I pray every time I see one. Thank you, God, for this reminder to pray. To remember is important because if we do not remember the past, we are unable to live today or in the future. Both good and less than good experiences shape us. They have made us who we are and who we are becoming. God wants us to remember. God calls us to be mindful of the past so that we will live well in the present and be prepared for the future. The Bible has a lot to say about remembering, and so I reread some of those passages, like Genesis 9, verse 16, where God chooses a symbol of the rainbow to remember that he will not completely destroy the world again by flood. Or in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, when the Ark of the Covenant returned to Jerusalem, David sang, inviting Israel to remember God's goodness. Ecclesiastes probably has one of the more well-known verses about remembering. It says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. In the New Testament, the thief on the cross called out to Jesus, remember me. But to follow our theme of remembering when, we're going to go back to the Exodus and to Joshua as he led the people to their promised land. I have up on the screen Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 to 7 and 24, and it's from the New International Version. Here's what it says. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, then right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. And in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. The Lord did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Joshua was now leading the people of Israel. They were finally ready to move into the land that would become home for them. The Jordan River was a barrier, but God had a plan. As soon as the feet of the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant touched the water at the edge of the river stopped flowing. This event was spectacular because this was not the dry season. In fact, it was the season of flooding. God wanted Israel to remember that this was an amazing event. As the water stopped flowing, the priests carried the ark into the middle of the riverbed and waited as the people crossed from one side to the other. The people of Israel were creating a memory. They were on the way home to the promised land. After 430 years in a foreign land, including a time of slavery, and 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, which created its own memories, they were about to create home in a new place. But there were more memories to create. Joshua invited 12 men, one from each of the tribe of Israel, to go back into the riverbed, that was while the ark was still there in the middle, to collect a rock. Each man was to carry the rock to where they were spending the night. There, they would build a memorial. They were creating their own Remember When event. God was giving them a place and a sign to remember. He was setting the stage for future generations to ask, "What do these stones mean?" Stones don't usually get recognized as something of worth. A stone in the shoe is a great bother. Stones on the path cause us to stumble and trip. But here, the stones were being used to remember. They were to be the markers that created the opportunities for conversation. God was providing the means for parents, elders, and priests to recall God's greatness. It was to be a time to remember when. They were to remember when God had helped them. They were to remember when God had showed them the way. I am sure that as the 12 men set the stones in place at Gilgal, they were already telling stories. Stories of God's provision and help. As they looked at the stones, they may have been thinking about how they were going to keep this story going. To remember to tell. To remember to share it with their children so that their grandchildren and great-grandchildren would know as well. So, how do these stones of remembrance help us today? First of all, stones help us remember our faith. Setting the stones in place was an act of faith. The stones were not to be worshipped. They were only the markers to point towards God, who was obviously the object of their adoration. They, the stones, were the visible means of Israelites seeing God with them. The stones that the 12 men laid down represented a significant moment in their history and a reminder of God's grace to them. As they saw the stones, they were to remember God's great power among them. Through their growing faith, they would also respect Jehovah as their only Lord and God. We also use signs to help us remember. Advent and Christmas have just passed, and it's a wonderful time of year when we use visible signs to point us towards the first coming of Christ to earth. We light the Advent candles in the time of waiting. And for us, it's re-waiting. Re-waiting for the coming of the Christ child. We share gifts with each other, just as the wise men shared their gifts with Jesus. Christmas is a time to remember when. Another wonderful visible sign that helps us with our faith is the Lord's Supper. And this morning, as you can see, we are going to use this marker to remember when. We will remember when Jesus died on the cross on our behalf. We will remember when Jesus rose again to new life, enabling us to join in that life. Though we are not there, we were not there at Jesus' death to personally recall what happened, we read about it. And Jesus invites us to remember when, so that we will continue to grow in grace and strength in Jesus Christ. Secondly, stones help us remember to be thankful. I can only imagine what the people of Israel must have felt as they finally had their feet safely planted on the other side of the Jordan River. What thankfulness must have helped them and filled them as they made their way further into the land. Whenever they would travel in the area where they had crossed the Jordan, they would be reminded to give thanks. Even those who did not pass that way had a memory of the stones so that they too would live lives of gratitude that would pass on through the generations. As Israel had traveled through the wilderness, God gave them laws and festivals by which they would remember God and all that God had done. The spring feast of the first harvest was a special time of thanksgiving. So stones or feasts, each was a reminder to live life as a thankful people. This past fall, I've enjoyed two church anniversary celebrations. House for All Nations, which is an Asian group of people that meet here and in four other places in the greater Vancouver area, and I'm helping them out with administration, celebrated 10 years of God's faithfulness to them. We had two services, one in Indonesian and the other in English. Saying thanks for God's faithfulness helps us hope for the future. Thanks be to God, welcomed present and past attenders to South Langley Church's 50th anniversary. They were the words that graced the front of the chapel in South Langley's first building, though it was called Brookswood then. We spent the weekend recalling, remembering when, Ross Road Community Church in Aldergrove gave South Langley its beginnings. They faithfully came out to the community hall in South Langley to begin Sunday afternoon Sunday school classes. There were people who purposely moved into the area so that they could help with a growing ministry. Today, South Langley is a congregation of about 400 people that call it home. Thanks be to God. It is right that we should stop and say thank you for all that God has done. Finding time to create reminders of thankfulness, both in our churches and in our homes, keeps us mindful of all that God has done for us. Thankfulness brings hope. Thirdly, stones help us to remember that we are, or we are to be, witnesses. When the children ask, it doesn't say if, it says when the children ask, then the parents and elders in the community were to tell. They were to become the witnesses of the story of God to the next generation. Joshua gave this instruction twice in this chapter. He had a good model to follow because Moses gave exactly the same instructions to the people 40 years earlier as they were leaving Egypt. When your children ask what the Passover means, tell them. Tell them of God's provision and God's help in time of trouble. And stones, these stones serve the same purpose, a marker of asking and giving witness. And when we are asked of the hope that is in us, are we willing to be witnesses by recalling God's faithfulness to us? Peter, in his letter to the early Christians, reminded them that they were living stones being built into a spiritual house. And here's the purpose. This is the purpose of being living stones. The purpose is to declare the praises of God to those around us. That's the purpose. We are invited to remember when, as we tell our own stories of God's faithfulness to us. So, on this first Sunday of the new year, what are the markers that you will use to remember when? What are the stories that you will and need to tell your children, your grandchildren, your friends, and maybe even your nieces and nephews? Perhaps this is the time when you need to set up your own pile of stones in a visible place to become your marker. The pile of stones does not take the place of what God does in our hearts. It just becomes the reminder that God has been at work. And it becomes the beginning of the question, what does this mean? One more short story. This past summer, I was able to travel to the Netherlands to be part of a Mennonite heritage tour. An uncle on my dad's side of the family has traced our family roots to the early 1600s to Friesland, a northern province in the Netherlands. This was an opportunity for me to ask my own, what does this mean, questions about my family heritage as well as my spiritual heritage. The stories that were retold were from the time of the Reformation. My spiritual forebears were teaching that the Reformation from the Catholic Church did not go far enough. They taught that people needed to be able to give witness to their faith before they were baptized. Because feelings ran high on both sides of the question, many Anabaptists were apprehended and martyred. As I remembered when, through that trip, I saw the willingness of these early believers to give up their lives for what they believed. They were willing to become the markers for future generations to learn their stories of faith in Jesus. Though I am familiar with the story, it was good to have a reminder of how faith must be shared with the next generation. At the end of our Bible, we have the book of Revelation, the Revelation of John. He wrote out his vision of what God was showing him. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, he writes to seven churches, describing what they are like and how they need to change to be God-honoring. I think I have found my verse for 2015 in what John writes to the church at Sardis. So here is the church, and though they think they are alive, they have forgotten what life was like. So here is God's reminder through John to them and to me. And this is out of the Living Bible. It says, go back, or in other words, remember. Remember when. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly and turn to me again. Revelation chapter 3, the first part of verse 3. I want to challenge you for this year. As you remember when, of your own past activities, of your own spiritual life, may God grant you grace and strength to create new wonderful markers of remember whens in 2015. Amen.